depending upon the Lord for help, I direct your attention to Hebrews chapter 12 and reading verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Our subject Wednesday evening, we spoke of that all these died in faith, and truly those that died in faith, they've died looking unto Jesus, who was the author and finisher of their faith. And so if in mercy the Lord is with us, leading us forth by the right way, then we also will be found with the beginning of our faith through Jesus Christ our Lord, which will essentially end in Christ Jesus alone. So the apostle encourages the church so to be found looking unto Jesus. For there is no other direction for a poor and needy sinner to look in. There's no other way for the Church of God to look to other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We see everything in decay. We see everything falling away around us. Principles of man seem to supersede the Word of God. Not the Word of God making the principles of man, examining the principles of man and trying the principles of man. So we find Zion in a solemn decline. Make no mistake about that. The theory often is, well, we mustn't... we must stop this decline, that we must make things lighter, we must make things easier, we must compromise with all around us. But I say, oh, does not this make the Satan himself smile when we speak of compromise? Because he knows indeed the church are not looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, but they are surely looking unto him. But in looking at the chapter, we would notice the beginning of this chapter, where the apostle says, wherefore, seeing we also so are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. And it is good indeed that God has left to the church today a witness in his most holy word. And what is it, that witness? It is the witness of the salvation of sinners through Jesus Christ, the witness of his mercy in saving poor sin, a great cloud of witness. It does not matter where you look in the Word of God. It is like a great cloud of witness. Oh, today we might look, this morning we may look around and say we seem to be under a cloud everywhere. It is to the west, to the north, to the south, or we look upward. It's the same cloud. But my friends, so you can say with regards to the Word of God, wherever you look, it's the same great cloud of witness. It's not that cloud, the fiery pillar, the cloud by day and the fiery pillar by night, no. But the cloud of witness, the testimony of the Lord's people in times past. In the book of the Revelation, it's put in another form. He shows John a great company of people, and he said, "These are they that have come up out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." The cloud of witness that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The great cloud of witness that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it never loses its power. It never loses its value. It is ever able to remove all our sin. It is a point, surely, of great encouragement, a cloud of witness. In that reference I've made to Revelation, remember the word says that the revelation is spoken to the things past, the things present, and the things to come. So in that wonderful vision that is shown to John, I assume that this was the entire church of God that was just shown to John in this way and manner. That without exception, all were cleansed, all were saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Revelations are good in their place and position. But I say the thing that really matters with me and the thing that matters really with you is our own souls as salvation, is our own troubles, our own difficulties. Yes, those fierce temptations without and within. For the apostle says, "Let us lay aside every weight and every sin which does so easily beset us." There may be one here this morning who comes like the hymn writer who said, "O Lord, how vile am I, how sinful and undone, how can I dare to venture nigh with such a load of sin?" Why, he looked and said he could not hardly bear this wretched heart of mine. How evil then it must appear to those pure eyes of thine. Friend, look in unto Jesus. Who is it then that causes a poor sinner to look unto Jesus? We are sure of this, that he looks down upon us and he sees us exactly as we are. He cannot look upon us with admiration according to our merit, how good we are and we have been. He cannot look upon us approvingly in that sense. But friend, God Almighty can only look upon us as he, through Jesus Christ, his own dear Son. Oh, what a mercy if we can say with Paul that I may be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. Therefore, with these few comments, we would bear this in mind, that we have nothing in and of ourselves to bring, as is a dire and hopeless case, out of Jesus Christ. And if God should look down upon us in our fallen state and nature, I say, where shall we be found when God does call us from earth away? There is but one place, and that's not two, is it? One place, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. I believe I said on the past evening that we have living faith because God in his mercy has quickened us into divine life. We do not have a divine life because we have believed. That is not correct. But no, as Paul says to the Ephesians, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. There is a great question presented here to each one of us. Hath the Lord quickened us? Are we born again? How are we to know that we are quickened? And how do we know that we are born again? I say, what change has there been found in us? Is there any change whatsoever? What change is there with desire to the sins of this world and the pleasures of this world? Has there been a change? What change is there to your outlook concerning eternity? Is it still something that does not matter, or something that you have felt you'll leave to some further date, a more convenient season, as said one king? No, my friend. If quickened by God to stand before thy face, Lord, make indeed that change in me. Looking unto Jesus. We may be very, very religious in our outlook. We may indeed be very, very interested in many good books, as men might term them, but that still does not make us a child of God. I say many people are interested in history, but they never lived in those times, in those places, and neither do they want history revived again in their life. But you know, the child of God, those that are born again, will they not be looking up heavenward? Will they not look up and say, Lord, there is this great cloud of witness, they travel through trial and tribulation. Lord, they made many dreadful mistakes. They sinned against thee. Yet, Lord, thou didst pardon and forgive their sins. Thou didst bring them to thy feet. Thou didst communicate with them and cause them to commune with thee. I say, they were brought but looking unto Jesus. And so the soul today, are they not brought to that place to be found looking unto Jesus? There is a hint of teaching, is there not, about, which speaks about, well, all you want God for is when you are in a time of trouble. I say, as Job speaks with regards to the natural man, as man is born, as sparks fly upwards, so man is born to trouble. And I say, as men are born again, so indeed real trouble indeed is shown to them. And the only answer to their troubles is looking unto Jesus. Troubles, my friends, that are beyond our reach and beyond our power. Troubles that stem back to our own sin and to our own shame. Troubles indeed that need pardon and forgiveness from God Almighty. Oh, the great cloud of witness. They are a point of encouragement to us. For the Lord had mercy upon them. He delivered them out of all their troubles. They called unto them the God in their distresses, and the Lord heard them, looking unto Jesus. Oh, blessed is that soul today, my friend, who has got nothing but this, a hope that Jesus will look down upon them and have mercy upon them, looking unto Jesus. Bartimaeus, friend, he couldn't even look naturally, though seemingly he was on earth and had that advantage that men could look upon Jesus with the natural eye. Yet the man was blind. Oh, how typical, oh, often of us, of the Lord's people. Oh, especially when it comes to living faith. Oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. Ah, some it seems such an easy, a trivial matter to believe. But do not the Lord's people find it at times hard and difficult, or they enter into conflict in this matter? Why is it? The discovery of the hardness of their heart, the discovery of the enmity in their soul to all that's good. Why is it? Oh, the old man of sin, striving with the new man of grace. Well, who will win? My friend, looking unto Jesus, there cannot be any losers, can there? Because, my friend, Jesus has said that none shall pluck them out of his hand. No, I say, what a hand is that? Is that the hand that you are looking unto? Then surely He is the author of your faith. Verily believing that Jesus Christ is able to save you. That Jesus Christ is verily able to kindle the spirit of prayer and supplication in your heart. I say, verily believing that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, looking unto Jesus. Was not this the words of John the Baptist as he introduced Jesus to the great company? Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We're not told how many looked and believed, and neither is it necessary and vital for us to know. But what is necessary, what is vital for us to know? Do we look and say, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, looking unto Jesus. The awakening call, the power of the Holy Spirit that takes of the things of Jesus and reveals them unto us. Do we not see that great cloud of witness, that woman of Samaria coming out with her water butt to draw water? It was not by chance. No, it was by divine appointment. Do not let Satan cheat us this day and say, oh, that was all by chance. He loves to hear us say that. But no, it was by divine appointment. He devised the very place and the means and where he should meet with you, a poor sinner, looking unto Jesus. Jesus spoke to the dear woman. And you say, well, it wasn't a very orthodox way, was it? It was rather unusual. He begins by means and circumstance of the past. He opens up questioning with her about her past life. I say, has the Lord drawn your attention unto him by asking you questions about your past life? Those things you'd hoped were forgotten and finished forever? But oh no, my friends. What was the effect upon her? Come and see a man that told me ever all that ever I did. Well, she was known in Samaria. You may be known in Samaria. You may be saying, but they don't know everything about me. No, but Jesus does. Jesus has seen and Jesus has heard all that you have said and knows all you've done. Looking unto Jesus. Why, my friend, she didn't say, come, there's a man out there I don't want to see any more. I want you to drive him away. No. He had truly captivated and fixed her heart and mind on him. Isn't that true and living faith? True and living faith is not something that is bottled up and restricted forever. No, my friends. She said, come and see a man that told me all that ever I did. Why, she would share these things with others. She could not do it herself, we know that. But oh, the testimony of those Samaritans, they believed, not because what she had said, but what Jesus had spoken, and to them also. This is the wonder of it. It brings us here to another point, and that is the power of his word. What do we know of the power of his word? Oh, many we see indeed are shutting their ears to his word. They do not want to know. They reject it. And like those who turned back from Jesus and said, "This is a hard saying, who can hear it?" They went back and walked no more with him. Friend, looking unto Jesus is the evidence of divine life, is it not? Looking unto Jesus is that which begins and continues. Can you say in your heart today, "I've had enough of religion, I don't want any more of it. I can discard this faith, I don't want it anymore"? Then that soul who speaks and says such things is in a sad and solemn place. But the sinner, my friend, who is still found looking unto Jesus, surely he is in a good place. Why? Because it is the Lord that has kept him there. It is the Lord that holds them there. It is the Lord that fixed them there. Looking unto Jesus. You say, "I have hoped and trusted. I have been there before. But I have not received what I hoped and looked for." But my friend, the great mercy is you're still looking unto Jesus. You are brought to come again. I like that word, again. Oh, I say, again. And I go a step further. If you have received from that deep well of Bethlehem that true and living water, and have benefited by it and been revived by it, this is the truth. After many years, you're still coming again to the same well, to the same heavenly spring. You come in with the same prayer, "Lord, fill my heart. Lord, indeed, testify to me that I am thy child." You know, that is a strange relationship, naturally speaking. If we do not want to know that the other one loves us still, we're never tired of hearing them saying in secret, "I still love you." My friend, why, it would cause reflections of the past. But I say how the Lord's people long to hear the Saviour say, "Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation." Looking unto Jesus. There is no other person, is there, that we can look to? This is often where we are. This is often where we make a mistake. we would seek to commune with something else, something other person than Jesus Christ himself. Well, it is good indeed to read a good books where we find like experiences and like life within those that are written of or have written them. But friends, that is not the same as looking unto Jesus, where we come indeed to his feet, where we humbly fall before him. It is no replacement, is it, for the real thing. Oh, blessed be his name, if thus he's brought you down to his feet this morning, looking unto Jesus. How is it that we've come to keep the Sabbath and his holy day? We used to sing a hymn in the Sunday school. Children, why have you come here? Not to see or to be seen, but of Jesus Christ to hear. What a mercy if we can say, what have we come here for? And you can say, Lord, we are found looking unto Jesus. For he and he alone can do for me which nobody else can. And that is to cleanse and purge away all my sin. Have you been looking at your accounts lately? I'm not talking about your bank account. But have you heard Almighty God say to you, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, to profit. Ah, my friends, what profit have you found? I'm sure of this, the only prophet that the Lord's people find is looking unto Jesus. Looking away from Jesus and looking at your account. Surely you're in the red and deep in debt. You'll be left saying this, how can I put that matter straight? How can I make that matter right? We can never go backwards, can we? And what is more, we cannot produce anything to recompense for the past. But there is one, my friend, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed, looking unto Jesus. Brought like the dear thief on the cross who said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Friend, reconciliation. Oh, dost thou look at thy accounts at the reconciliation? Oh, to see the fullness of the goodness of the Lord. Oh, such a fullness in Christ. Oh, at the end of the whole matter, it is Jesus and he alone that pardons and forgives all our sin. Looking unto Jesus. How amazed. Simon the Pharisee must have been when he turned to her and said, Simon, seest thou this woman? Well, everybody knew that woman was. Everybody knew that woman. She had a right reputation for herself. But what indeed fills Simon with dismay and doubt of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was even a prophet, that he allowed her to touch him, and to approach unto him. He would even relegate the Lord Jesus Christ to less than a prophet when he was the Son of God. But that dear woman, my friend, she elevated Jesus Christ by faith in her heart to his rightful place. My friend, she looked to him, oh, not as a prophet, but oh, as the Saviour of sinners. The Saviour of sinners. I say, that is living faith, isn't it? When thus, though feeling to be the chiefest of sinners, brought behind him, weeping o'er his dear feet, washing his feet with our tears, and wiping them with the hairs of her head. What is the teaching in this, my friend? Oh, that which was once our glory, we count as nothing, and only worthy, oh, to wipe his dear feet with, oh, as being nothing. But now Jesus Christ had become her all in all. My friend, she loved the Lord Jesus Christ, not as she loved other people, of course, but she loved him because he'd loved her with an everlasting love, looking unto Jesus. Friend, to know that everlasting love, there must be and needs be for his all-quickening power to cause us to look to him and him alone. How many, I say, have been really disappointed in looking to him? Can you name one that has come there and he has said to, "Don't you come here. I don't want to know anything about you." No. All that the Father hath given me shall come unto me. Looking unto Jesus as the altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000, the one that is essentially necessary to save their souls from eternal ruin and that burning pit. Looking unto Jesus. But the time has gone. I must leave this matter now. But may the Lord bless his word for his great name's sake. Amen.